Still through.
All right. We lost the PowerPoint on your presentation.
Did you see the whole thing before you lost it?
No, so I don't know. Maybe they're working on that. I hope so, because Doug Edwards needs a PowerPoint for his presentation. Anyway, we'll work on that. But
you have no idea what you missed. The best part. If you could see what I'm seeing.
Anyway, okay, we're ready for questions. So we'll start over here again and just go around. Roger.
Thank you, Clint. Are the pronouns in verse 8 in New King James, they're it, you know, they're neuter. And in your preferred, and you change them to he, are they neuter in the Greek, or are they, or is there any way to?
I don't know, but I think it's the same way in John 1:1. The word he was with God, you know, so on. It can be it. Some of the old translations call the word it. Somebody who knows more about Greek, which we have a few here, would be able to comment better on that. I know that some scholars who know a lot more about Greek than I do suggest that it can say he breathes where he wills. I reckon George Campbell would have taken that into consideration.
Clint, this is a tad off of what you said, but you mentioned about born of water and spirit. We have one preposition, etc. Would that be somewhat analogous to John 4, where we talk worship in spirit and truth?
Probably so, yeah, I think so.
Showing that when people make a dichotomy there to try and wrestle with that, they ought to take a second thought about that.
Yeah, so you can't worship in spirit and not in truth, or in truth but not in spirit. That's right. Yep, that's good. That's a great observation. Thank you.
George Batty and
then. You did a great job, Clint. I really enjoyed it. Just for any that may be interested, B.W. Johnson in his, what's it called,
People's New Testament.
New Testament. I don't know, it's about a page worth of notes, but it's about the most, it's the best summary of what you just presented that I've ever read. Mm-hmm. And that is available on practically, it's a free Bible commentary on many. I went down to Walmart and bought this Bible program at Walmart for $10, and that was on it. And it's amazing that his book would be included in such, and it's just a tremendous presentation, and it's a boiled down version of what you gave. It was, what you did was very good. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Clint, I can just hear Brother Covert up in West Virginia saying amen to that, because he held that view pretty strongly. I mentioned this one time to Brother E.H. Miller, and he said, no, says the Spirit don't make no sound. I said, what about on the day of Pentecost? It says there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. He said, oh, well, you're right. He says it makes a sound. So that argument fell by the wayside. I had something else I wanted to mention, but I forgot what it was now. So
I wish everyone gave up so easily.
Doug Adams.
Would you summarize again your belief on the teaching in John 3 and 5, born of the Spirit? Not born of the water, but born of the Spirit. Just summarize that again.
On the second clause, born of the Spirit. So I think John 3:8 is explanatory. Instead of being a comparison when he says, so is everyone who's born of the Spirit, I believe he's explaining how the birth of the Spirit takes place or what the birth of the Spirit is. And it is hearing the voice of the Spirit, which comes through the preaching of inspired men, and a hearing that leads to faith and repentance and ultimately to obedience in baptism. J.W. McGarvey said that, correctly understood, the birth of the Spirit, especially John 3:8, is essentially parallel to Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And I think that's right.
Seven times in Revelation 2 and 3, the Bible says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And when we hear these words that were inspired by the Spirit, we're hearing the Spirit. That's right. That's how the Holy Spirit speaks to us today, is through these words right here. And I don't think we should be ashamed or afraid of admitting that.
That's right. Isn't it interesting that the Apostle Paul uses an expression to refer to inspiration that means the breath of God? Jesus says the Spirit breathes where He wills. So I think there's abundant evidence for this position throughout the Scripture.
Bill Ferguson. Thank you, Clint. That was very good, and I appreciate the comments as well so far. We always take these words of Jesus and apply them to, you know, being obedient to the gospel, and the Lord adds us to the church, being baptized. If Nicodemus believed the words of Jesus on that occasion, would that have put him in the kingdom?
If he'd been baptized?
If he had been obedient?
With John's baptism?
That's my next question.
I figured it was, yeah. Now, I believe John's baptism was, like the gospel writers say, for the remission of sins, and, you know, with a view to the kingdom.